This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 5.10 and a quarter, down 2 3/4. July corn, 5.14, down 3.5. September corn, 5.11, down 2. May soybeans, 14.51, down 13. July soybeans, 14.46 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter. August soybeans, 13.93 3/4, down 10 3/4. May wheat, 7.29 3/4, down 2. July wheat, 7.37 3/4, down 1 1/4. September wheat, 7.46 1/2, down 1. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower late Wednesday afternoon. Favorable planting weather kept corn on the negative side today. Technical trading and the possibility of more bean acres pushed bean prices lower. With the easing of tensions in the Ukraine and the chance of showers in Plains area weakening the wheat market. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 4 to 6 cents lower at 484 to 508. Soybeans are down 12 to 13 cents at 1425 to 1450. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mixed at 484 to 507. Soybeans are down 9 to 16 cents at 1447 to 1463. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn unchanged to 4 cents lower at 493 to 527. Soybeans are down 12 to 13 cents at 1438 to 1468. Wheat was down mostly 1 cent at 702 to 738. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 13 to 17 cents lower at 1461 to 1496. Basis levels were steady to 4 cents lower at 15 to 50 cents over the July. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.99.90 to $5.16.90 per ton, with basis steady to 3 cents lower at 25 to 42 cents over the July. Illinois corn processor cash bids were 2 to 4 cents lower at $5.09 to $5.24, with basis levels steady to 2 cents stronger at 5 under to 10 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 4 to 5 cents lower at 517 to 521, with the basis levels steady to 1 cent lower at 3 to 7 cents over the July. Soybeans closed 12 to 13 cents lower at 1452 to 1457, with the basis steady to 1 cent stronger at 6 to 11 over July. New crop wheat prices were 2 to 3 cents lower at 711 to 714. With the basis 1 to 2 cents lower at 24 to 27 cents under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 5 to 6 cents lower at 536 to 540. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 14 to 16 cents with bids at 1478 to 1479. Soft wheat closed mixed at 754 to 763. Milo was 3 to 4 cents lower at 531 to 535. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery corn in northern and western Illinois, shell corn contracts were quoted at 469 to 482. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged from 1172 to 1198. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 470 to 490. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from $11.83 to $12. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at $4.78 to $4.95. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from $11.80 to $12.11. And new crop wheat June-July delivery in the southern part of the state range from $6.99 to $7.31. That concludes Wednesday's Grain Market Summary. This is John Ray reporting.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 137.57, down 72 cents. August live cattle, 137.40, down 52 cents. October live cattle, 142.05, down 20 cents. May feeder cattle, 183.02, down 45 cents. August feeder cattle, 190.67, down 57 cents. September feeder cattle, 191.20, down 67 cents. May lean hogs, 115.22, down 82 cents. June lean hogs, 121.17, down $2.05. July lean hogs, 123.02, down 27 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is David Humphreys with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday, the 7th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in a range of 104 to 112 with a weighted average carcass price of 107.67. From the Illinois Direct Sour Port, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 75 to 84, 4 to 5 weighted 82 to 89, and 500 to 600 at 86 to 91, and over 600 at 90 to 93. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 73 to 80. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 10,811. United Producers Weekly Auction had a receipts of 290 compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded 2 to 250 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded 2 higher. Slaughter cows traded steady with a dollar higher. And slaughter bulls traded steady. Steers choice 148 to 155.50. Steers select and choice at 140 and a quarter to 146. Holstein steers choice at 137 and a quarter to 147.50. Heifers choice at 148 to 154. Heifers select and choice at 138 to 147. Slaughter cows breakers average dressing at 96. Boners average dressing at 96 to 107. High dressing at 112.50 to 115. Leans average dressing at 89 to 90. High dressing at 102 to 104. And low dressing at 73 to 85. With slaughter bulls average dressing at 113 to 120. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on address basis traded at 234 to 238. Heifers on address basis traded at 238. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 545 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 111.97, which is 32 cents lower. From the National Daily Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses were $227.15, which was 73 cents lower, with select carcasses at $213.26, which was 30 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $120,000 compared to $120,000 for last week and $123,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $413,000 compared to $411,000 last week and $413,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys of the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.15. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.18. May corn delivered to Scottville, $5.06. June corn delivered to Scottville, $5.09. May and June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.47. May and June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.36. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.27. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.15. Corn at Scottville is $5.06. Beans at Greenfield are $14.47, beans at Scottville are $14.36, and wheat at Scottville is $7.27. Reuters reports PEDV, which has already killed about 7 million pigs since it was first detected last year, could cut pork production as much as 7% this year and reduce output by 2%. According to USDA, the U.S. is the world's largest pork exporter, shipping almost 5 billion pounds last year. The European Union has addressed concerns that PEDV could make its way to Europe and announced rules to ensure imported pig blood used in animal feed was free of the virus. The American Farm Bureau Federation has distilled down the massive and complex 2014 Farm Bill into several bite-sized pieces, according to AFBF Deputy Chief Economist John Anderson. The new series of videos are intended to help farmers and managers understand how the Farm Bill will affect their farms. Now that safety net and risk management tools important to crop planning are in place, along with the new dairy program, Anderson says the next step is for farmers to be able to move forward with confidence in determining the best options for their individual farms. The videos provide an overview of the Farm Bill and describe the basic commodity title provisions, along with a description of the decisions related to program participation farmers and landowners have to make. Other videos go in-depth on price loss coverage and supplemental coverage option, the agricultural risk coverage program, the stacked income protection program for cotton, and the dairy margin protection program. You can search for these videos on the American Farm Bureau website. Nationwide crop reports have portrayed a struggling wheat crop, but market analyst for Water Street Solutions Arlen Suderman says it's more of a tale of two wheat crops, the hard red winter wheat crop and the soft red winter wheat crop.
It really is. Focused on the hard red winter wheat crop in the plains, the Midwest soft red winter wheat crop continues to look pretty good. But it's that hard red winter wheat crop in the plains that continues to be under the impact of drought and freeze damage. Drought is the biggest problem. If you look at the rainfall statistics for the year to date for many areas of the plains, it's the driest since the dirty 30s. And we've really seen that play out with some of the days when major highways have been closed because of blowing dust. Certainly we saw in the Wheat Quality Council tour of the crop last week with very low production estimates, but those production estimates continue to tumble now because they've been seeing temperatures reaching triple-digit levels with single-digit relative humidities and high winds really take the last of the life out of what wheat crop is in the plains.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's just baking the crop out there and blowing away any moisture that would be left.
That is well said, and particularly when you look at the crop and its heading stage, which the worst of the heat and wind and dry humidities is in the stage is hitting the crop at the time when it heads and is trying to flower, and of course the pollen from that wheat is very fragile, and so these kind of conditions is literally baking the crop. And I'm getting questions from farmers, is it optimistic or pessimistic to think I'm just going to leave what's there as residue to hold the ground from blowing rather than to harvest it for grain? They're looking ahead to next year, and as some farmers told me, they're not going to make a mistake this year that they've made in the past in harvesting 8 to 10 bushel yields when they could leave that plant standing there to help hold the soil over the next year.
And farmers have learned over the course of many years that it is important to have a plant in there holding the soil down.
Yeah, exactly right. And so I think that we're going to see much higher abandonment of wheat, so to speak, not harvested for grain, than what we would normally speak. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see abandonment at the highest levels that we've seen in the last 20 to 30 years in the region, with overall very disappointing yields, even in areas that normally are able to withstand these adversities.
All right. Now, what are going to be some of the biggest impacts on the markets this week?
Well, as we go forward to the week, traders are going to be increasingly looking to Friday's USDA crop report. This is one of the more anticipated crop reports of the year, probably not the most anticipated, but one of the more anticipated, because it has the agency's first supply and demand balance sheets for the new crop marketing year, for the 2014-15 marketing year. So it'll have the first wheat production, new crop wheat production estimate based on actual field surveys by scouts, and it'll have the first legitimate corn production and soybean production estimates for the United States based on current planting conditions and progress, et cetera, and supply and demand balance sheets. And the trade's expectation is that USDA will see corn stocks rise by several hundred million bushels next year, even with the smaller acreage, getting back to what the USDA will use, a relatively high trend yield over 165, probably maybe as high as 166 for their national average trend yield, and that'll increase stocks by several hundred million, according to the belief of the trade. And soybean stocks are expected to rise above 300 million, according to trade surveys. So that's the expectation. USDA is known for these bearish crop reports. So as we get closer to Friday, I think we'll see more and more positioning of the trade for that expectation of a bearish crop report on Friday morning.
And I hear that some people are kind of keeping a wary eye on Ukraine this week.
They certainly are, and that's less of a factor for soybeans, but for corn and wheat it is a much bigger factor because Russia and Ukraine combined export about 1 billion bushels of wheat annually and about 850 million bushels of corn. The bulk of that corn comes from Ukraine, and so wheat production this year should be relatively normal, but exports are still in doubt because many customers are reluctant to write contracts for taking shipment of new crop wheat after the harvest, not knowing whether it'll be safe to send ships into the Black Sea or who they'll be doing business with in Ukraine. So that's a real concern of export customers and could send more business our way. It's a big question mark, depending on how long the conflict there in Ukraine lasts. On the corn side, though, because of the crisis, we're seeing the currencies of both countries drop rapidly, and that's creating inflation and high input costs for raising the corn crop. We're also seeing, because of high interest rates, a reluctance of many banks to loan money to the farmers to finance those inputs. So as a result, we're seeing a small reduction in acreage, but a much more significant reduction in the usage of inputs like fertilizer and higher tech seeds, etc. So people within the region believe that that's going to end up reducing exportable supplies of corn by about 300 million bushels this year because of what's already taken place. But, of course, that could also get enhanced even more if the conflict continues to grow and exports of what is produced are also at risk. So traders definitely keeping their eye on the Ukraine situation.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Farmers may want to renegotiate cash rental rates on cropland because of recent market changes.
We've had a tremendous run-up in crop prices. Corn averaged above $6 a bushel for 3 years in a row, but it's not there anymore.
That's University of Missouri Extension agricultural economist Ron Plain. He says the futures market shows corn prices are likely to be in the $4 to $5 range over the next couple of years, so some recent cash rental rates may be a bit high. Although soybean prices haven't dropped as much as corn, the forecast is for more bean acres and fewer corn acres being planted this year. Plain says the price gap between the two will narrow by fall harvest. While crop prices have dropped, input costs are currently still high.
Take a look at seed costs, fertilizer costs. They've gone up a great deal over the last several years, and that trims the margin for the tenant and what's available to pay cash rent.
It is a little different on the pasture side. Plain says while renegotiated cash rents on cropland will be lower than the last couple years, changes in cash rental rates on pastures will be higher than in 2012 through 2013.
We've got fewer acres of pastures as we've moved some of it into cropland production. The other thing is cattle prices aren't coming down like crop prices. In fact, we're looking at record prices for feeder cattle.
Whether renegotiating rental rates for cropland or pastures, Plain recommends producers get the agreement in writing. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.